The Rams are back where they belong, where it all began in 1946. The last 20 years have been a bad dream. Now, it's time for the Ramble On Podcast. Here are your hosts, Steve Mason and Ryan Abraham.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Ramble On Podcast. I'm Steve Mason, along with Ryan Abraham. I, of course, am on every afternoon, noon to three on ESPN LA 710 in Los Angeles. And Ryan Abraham is the publisher of USCFootball.com. My Twitter handle, at Venice Mace, M-A-S-E, and Ryan Abraham is at Inside Troy. We're continuing to get ready for the return of the Los Angeles Rams, and we're done kind of talking about the woo-hoo they're coming because they're here. And we're moving on to what's actually going to take place on the field. Ryan, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. We missed you last week, Mace, but we had a good show without you, but we wanted to get you back here in the fall because we know how much you love the Rams.
I heard the show was not nearly as good without me on it. Is
how
that
could
any
it be?
Truth to that?
You're a pro, dude. How could it not? It can't be as good without you.
There you go. All right. And joining us right now is a buddy of mine, Vinny Bonsignore. He writes for the LA Daily News. He is covering the Rams for this coming season. He was all over the whole move of the Rams to Los Angeles and was ahead of the curve on all that. At Daily News Vinny is his Twitter handle. Vinny, what's up, man?
How are you guys? Good to be talking about the Rams as an actual team, personnel and coaches, and bringing in players and free agency in the draft, rather than are they actually going to be here. We're definitely past that point, and that's a great thing.
Yes, it is. It's a great thing. And the one thing I wanted to talk to you about, Eric Dickerson was on the show today, Eric Dickerson. I mean, that guy was.
That says it all, right?
Yeah. He was totally friggin' unbelievable. We talked about Jeff Fisher, and Jeff has not had, I mean, he's under 500 now in 4 years with the Rams. They've recently announced that they are planning to extend him. What's the case for Jeff Fisher?
Well, the case for Jeff Fisher is he and Les Snead, who he brought in as the general manager, you know, obviously we get caught up in wins and losses, and that is what it's all about. There's no disputing that. But if you look at the roster, it's actually a pretty darn good roster in a lot of different areas, short of the quarterback position. They just haven't been able to figure that out. You know, I know that even now they're getting criticism over, you know, kind of slow playing the quarterback position as if they'd never addressed it. Well, let's face it. They invested the first pick in the draft on a guy by the name of Sam Bradford in 2012, and it just didn't pan out. And when that happens, it's just going to set you back. And that's kind of the position that they find themselves in. But picking at 15 and loaded with an extra second round pick that they got in the Sam Bradford trade with Philadelphia, you know, they can make some moves, whether they trade back into the first round or trade up in the first round to get that quarterback. And I think when they get that position solidified, I think a lot of the naysayers toward Jeff Fisher are going to come around because they have everything else in place to be a good team. But that's, if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have anything.
Hey, Vinny, one of your pieces, if you go to InsideSoCal.com/NFL, really good stuff there if you guys want to check it out. They call it the NFL in LA. You know, it was focused before on bringing a team back. Obviously, now the Rams are here, so you got focused a lot on that. But when you reference the Walter Camp, it's WalterFootball.com's draft value chart, I find that stuff really interesting about, you know, what it would take, how many points it would take for the Rams to move up to potentially get that franchise quarterback. And do you think that's feasible because they got the couple of second round picks that they could actually move up a few spots?
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that it's feasible. Now, a lot of people, I think Chris Collinsworth said to, you know, move up to one or two to try to get Carson Wentz. And I don't see that happening. First of all, Cleveland's not going to trade their pick. They want Carson Wentz, the quarterback from North Dakota State. But to get to number one, you're going to have to give up your entire draft. So that's not going to work, and you can pretty much just write off Carson Wentz. However, I believe the next best quarterback is Jared Goff from Cal, and I think that he's going to go somewhere in that 7-8, maybe even 4 range to the Dallas Cowboys. But if he gets past the Cowboys, at 6, the Ravens have the 6th pick in the draft, and right behind them are the Eagles, or the 49ers and the Eagles, and they're bound to take either him or Paxton Lynch, the quarterback from Memphis, and probably both of them. So for the Rams to get a shot at both Goff and Lynch, or one of them at least, they have to move into that sixth pick, and they do have the arsenal to be able to do that. They need to come up with 500 points, 550 points, and that would require their first round pick, which is the number 15 pick in the draft, and their second round, the second round pick that they got, which came via the Sam Bradford trade, and their fourth pick, which is number 110. Based on the chart, the draft chart, that's more than enough to get them into that sixth range to guarantee that they get either Goff or Lynch.
Are you convinced that the Browns are absolutely taking Carson Wentz from North Dakota State with the second pick?
Well, it seems like that, and that seems to be where they're headed. Although, you know, they are in the running for Colin Kaepernick. I don't know if that's a situation where they bring in a Colin Kaepernick and draft, you know, or not draft a quarterback with a two pick. But I just don't know if you can stake everything on a Colin Kaepernick. I do believe he's going to go number two to the Browns, but if he doesn't, then that obviously opens everything else up for the Rams. They don't have to have that kind of sense of urgency to move back up. They can sort of let things fall to them or just monitor the situation and make any move up that they deem necessary.
Vinny, do you think there's a chance that there's no quarterback in the first round for the Rams and maybe pick a deep threat wide receiver or someone, you know, a stud wide receiver that could have a number one guy? And maybe do free agency, or maybe just go with Case Keenum, where they seem to feel fairly comfortable with winning three of the last four games last year.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they could do that. One of the other scenarios that might be available to them, or is available to them, is drafting a wide receiver with that number one pick, which is number 15, like we talked about, or something else, another position. But let's just say that they draft the wide receiver at 15. They met today with Connor Cook, the quarterback at Michigan State, at his pro day. So obviously there's some interest there. I know that there is interest regardless. They are interested in Connor Cook, not at number 15, most likely. But to get him, I think you might have to think about trading back into the first round, because the Denver Broncos are sitting there at number 31. And obviously we know they need a quarterback right now. It wouldn't surprise me if they rolled the dice on a Connor Cook at the tail end of that first round. So if the Rams do want Connor, they'd probably have to move up in those two second-round picks. That's where those come into play. That would be enough to get them back into the first round. I do believe one way or another, whether it's with number 15 or trading back up into the first, or maybe with that early second-round pick, they are going to come up with a quarterback that they hope is the guy for the future.
You know, in the event that they don't go quarterback, you know, they've got Case Keenum there, obviously. Sean Mannion is, at least as of the end of last year, was kind of their look-ahead guy, or their guy that potentially was the quarterback of the future. And now there's all kinds of swirling information about Robert Griffin III. What are you hearing about RG3 as a possibility to the Rams?
Well, I know that RG3 wants to play for the Rams. There's no doubt about that. Obviously, he doesn't have a job right now, so you can put the Rams on a list of probably a handful of teams that he would like to play on. But the Rams are at the top of that list. The problem for RG3, as it is for Ryan Fitzpatrick and other free agents that they would have some interest in, is their markets just haven't emerged. And I think part of the reason for that is the Colin Kaepernick domino. Once that falls, wherever he ends up, whether it's in Denver or Cleveland, I think that there will be more urgency created for the quarterback options of RG3 and Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I think that you'll see some action on them. And I would think that the Rams, they're kind of sitting back right now on those two, waiting for some development. But I'm pretty sure that they're going to at least kick their tires on them. And I know that there's interest in Fitzpatrick at the right price.
Vinny, the early free agency didn't seem to be going the Rams' way, but though there have been a couple of signings lately. The latest one you wrote about on the blog, Quentin Copels, formerly from the Jets, he was a first round pick for them for a few years. Maybe talk about him and what he brings to the table for the Rams.
Well, the way they're looking at it is it's a, you know, kind of a boom or bust type of a situation at a very low price. They could have, hopefully anyway, acquired a pass rush specialist. That's what he does. And they're not asking him to play every down. If he does, great, but I don't think that that's the expectation. But he can be in a pretty formidable, if he's right, a pretty formidable rotation with Eugene Sims, a Robert Quinn, who's coming back healthy, and a William Hayes. Hayes and Sims have both re-signed. They were under restricted free agency. They brought them back. They value them. So you put Copel in that rotation, and all of a sudden it looks pretty formidable. He's essentially going to replace Chris Long, who was basically out all of last year. So it's a net gain in that regard. And if he's motivated and his head is on right and he's ready to go, it could be a pretty beneficial addition for them.
So Copel's is kind of a buy low situation, it sounds like, and hope for the best. Let me ask you about the Trumaine Johnson got the franchise tag. Mark Barron did re-sign. William Hayes did re-sign. Two holes in that secondary now. Janoris Jenkins, who signed with the Giants, and Rodney McLeod, who signed with the Eagles. How effective are the Rams going to be in replacing that depth in the secondary?
Well, you know, they also signed Cody Sensabaugh from Tennessee, another young, productive cornerback. The way the Rams look at it is they feel like they have a scheme advantage with their defensive coordinator, Greg Williams, and obviously Jeff Fisher is a former defensive coordinator and a defensive-minded head coach. They believe through development, coaching, and scheme, they have the ability to be able to coach people up, basically, to be effective in the back end of their defense. They were more concerned with their front line. That's why most of their focus was on that part of the defense, including Barron, who will now move to the little linebacker position. He came in as a safety, drafted by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers out of Alabama as a safety. But Greg Williams and what he's good at is figuring out ways to put players on the field to make them the most effective that they can be. And Barron found a spot as Ogletree's replacement last year at the will position. Now Ogletree moves inside as the Mike linebacker. You've got Barron outside, and they believe that, you know, in-house candidates, EJ Gaines is coming back from injury. Trumaine is locked in at one cornerback position. You've got Sensabaugh now in the rotation. They feel like they're going to be okay as far as the DBs go.
Vinny, losing Janoris Jenkins to the Giants, were you surprised at all? He kind of went on a little bit of a on social media and kind of talked about being disrespected by what the Rams were offering and things like that. Were you a little surprised the way that kind of ended?
Well, I mean, obviously he got paid big time by the New York Giants. so there's always that one team that might jump in and surprise everybody with an offer that, you know, maybe you didn't quite see coming. You know, the Rams offered him 5 years, $45 million. It seemed, you know, like a fair contract offer for a player of his caliber. He's not a superstar by any means. You know, he's a big play cornerback that also has a tendency to get burnt a lot because of that aggressive style that he plays. So I don't think that, me personally, I don't believe he's worth the money that the Giants invested in him, but the Giants had so many holes defensively. They had to do what they had to do to upgrade at a number of different positions. Obviously, quarterback was one of them, but that was just a little too rich for the Rams' taste. So, am I surprised that the Giants paid him what they did? A little bit, but am I surprised that the Rams didn't match it? Not at all.
You know, one of the I think it was Wall Street Journal did a piece on this. Yeah, I sometimes read the Wall Street Journal.
Wow, impressive.
On how free agency has become a bigger factor this year than it has in recent memory. It used to be free agency would kind of come and go. We wouldn't necessarily see a whole lot of movement. This year, it really has been a frenzy. And one of their arguments was it's because it's a copycat league and because everybody looked at the Denver Broncos and said, we can do that, especially on defense. What do you think of that?
Yeah, you know, and I agree. And I think that also teams are looking around and saying, look, where are the franchise quarterbacks? You know, you've got Tom Brady, obviously, but he's getting up there in age. We don't know how much longer he's going to play. I mean, when you looked around the league last year, the quarterback play really wasn't that good. And I don't see it improving that much this year because where are we going to see the improvements from? Peyton Manning leaving, Brady, you know, still has some years left, but that quality quarterback position or production is waning, and teams now are starting to realize, look, if we put a really good defense on the field, and I think Les Snead was talking about how if you hold teams under 20 points per game, you know, your chances of winning just go way, way, way up, no matter who you have at quarterback. So I think that people are seeing the value in building a great defense. And let's face it, defensive ends, defensive tackles, they're a lot easier to find those than franchise quarterbacks. So it's sort of a money ball situation. That's where they put their value, and that's where they feel like they can win, literally win games on that side of the ball. And teams are, you saw what the defensive linemen were making, the defensive ends in this free agency class. So it's not a surprise. They saw what the Denver Broncos did. And to some extent, you know, the Carolina Panthers, they won on defense as well. And here we are. So to echo what you said, copycat league, not a big surprise.
Hey, Vinny, the Players Association got involved in some of the Rams contracts recently. Maybe, I know you wrote about that. Maybe kind of explain kind of what was going on there with the Rams, something to do with the move from Missouri to California.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic in a way, because the Players Association is usually supposed to look out for ways to make sure that the players get paid. And in this instance, they might have kind of blown it, and I'll explain why. what the Rams were trying to do was, you know, when you sign a player, a free agent, whether it's your own or, you know, outside the organization, the upfront money, the bonus money gets paid immediately. And so what the Rams were trying to do was sign these players under in Missouri, which they're obviously their state taxes are different from the state taxes here in California. And so the long and short of it is, by doing that and by paying that money in March in Missouri, the players benefited by 7% on their return on the money, on the taxes. So what the players union saw was probably some lawyer in Washington DC who was looking at these contracts and saw the wording which indicated that these were signed in Missouri, so they fell under the jurisdiction of Missouri state laws, workers' comp laws, and whatnot, and said, wait a minute, they're now the Los Angeles Rams. What happens if there's a workers' comp dispute? What happens if there's a claim? Are they saying that they're going to push that to Missouri, and Missouri will hear those cases, even though they're the Los Angeles Rams? Well, no. If you know the laws, any of those contracts, once the team lands here in California, will automatically transfer to California workers' comp laws. Whether those contracts were signed a week ago, 2 weeks ago, 2 years ago, doesn't matter. They automatically transfer to California. So it had nothing to do with that, and everything to do with trying to get these guys a little extra money in their March bonuses. But, and then once that was explained to the way it was explained to me from Rams sources, got on the phone with the Players Association, explained to them what was up. They're like, oh, okay, yeah. All right, it's cool. We're good with it. No worries. So, and interestingly enough, once that happened, that's when the Rams started actually signing some of these free agents. So, it all worked out. It was just paperwork and wording. The Rams did change it to say in the contract, clearly, once we get to California, all of these contracts transfer to California rules, which they would have anyway, but they put the wording in there just to be on the safe side.
You know, one of the things the Rams missed last year, and Tavon Austin is a nifty little player out of the slot. And when I say, I mean, it sounds diminutive, but he is diminutive. So I guess it's okay. He's not the biggest guy around. But they're missing sort of those explosive stretch the field guys. That Ole Miss running back Laquon Treadwell looks like he could be that kind of guy. Who on the free agent market do you think the Rams might be looking at to add sort of that punch?
Well, they brought in Reuben Randall from the New York Giants, who's, you know, he's definitely not a number one guy, but his production would be, you know, a value to the Rams, because they didn't really have much production at all at the wide receiver spot. But it's kind of a catch-22. Yeah, they would like to upgrade the wide receiver position, but wide receivers want to go someplace where they feel confident that the quarterback that's in place is going to be able to get them the ball. And really, when you think about it, the Rams can't make any of those kind of promises to wide receivers, because they just don't. Yes, we have Case Keenum, and the Rams publicly are expressing confidence in him. And, you know, maybe it comes to, maybe because of the way the draft works out or free agency works out, maybe they have to roll with him as a starting quarterback. But I don't think anyone in that building really thinks that he's the guy moving forward. Until they have that guy in place, I think wide receivers are going to be wary of signing him.
Vinny, when you talk about the draft, everyone's talking about the early picks for the Rams. And with a team that's pretty much in place except for the quarterback, it's understandable. But where do you think some of the later picks, what direction they're going to go? The front office wants to go here to add some pieces or add some depth.
Yeah, I think that they're always the Rams, you know, just based on their leadership, you know, with Jeff Fisher and Les Snead, it's a defensive group. So they're always going to be paying attention to that side of the ball. I do think that they're going to, you know, invest some picks at the wide receiver position. They just need more punch offensively. I mean, there's no doubt about it. They have, you know, a need at tight end. They definitely have some more need for competition along the offensive line. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, in the mid rounds, they brought in a tackle or a guard. They have two centers on the roster that they just re-signed. So it seems like there's some confidence in that position. Don't necessarily think they're going to invest a pick, at that spot, but you know, definitely wide receiver, obviously the quarterback. I think if you're talking to Rams fans, they don't care about defense anymore. Just give us as many offensive playmakers as we can get. And I think the Rams think along those lines as well, but obviously it's got to make sense. And you mentioned Treadwell. I think that he would be a perfect fit for the Rams. Again, it's going to be dependent also on who that quarterback is and whether they're capable of taking advantage of a weapon like that. But if you can get a guy like that or a guy like Will Fuller who can stretch the field, and then bringing that quarterback, I mean, this is a team, again, we keep mentioning it, is on the verge. It just needs a couple of positions, but they just happen to be in the quarterback spot, the most important position on the field.
You know, offensively, and, you know, obviously this is going to be a run first offense as we've talked about, but last year, offensive coordinator Frank Cignetti, was in charge. He was fired. There is now a new offensive coordinator, Rob Boris, who was on the staff last year. And on top of that, they've hired a new passing game coordinator. Is it Mike Groh?
Yeah, Mike Groh, the son of Al.
Son of Al Groh, who was of course former Maryland
Chiefs, and yes, exactly, Virginia, out that part of the country. So, you know,
How's it going to work? Does the offensive scheme change, or is it going to be a lot alike? Why did they make the change in the first place?
Well, if you noticed, when they did make the change last year, there were four games left in the season. They finished 3-1, and all the numbers went up. Everything went up. They started getting the ball more in Kayvon Austin's hands. You know, they got now. Granted, they also made a quarterback change, which. Kind of, it's a little funny in a way because there's like this rumor out there now that the Rams tried to tank last season, you know, to try to enhance their position on moving to Los Angeles. Well, if they were going to tank the season,
you don't go 3-1.
You don't go 3-1 to end the season. You don't fire your offensive coordinator who you're still paying for this year. You don't change your quarterback. Obviously, they were trying to still win and still compete, which they did at the end of last year. And Boris, you know, made some changes schematically. Again, they got the ball more into the hands of a playmaker like Kayvon Austin, and there was success. The scoring went up, everything went up, including the wins. So I expect that to continue. And now, obviously, you know, bringing in Groh to coordinate the passing game, they're paying attention to that. They're cognizant of what needs to happen, what needs to get done in the areas that they need to improve, and punch, scoring, making it easier, you know, to pick up big yards, big plays is at the forefront. They obviously know that they've got arguably the best running back in the NFL right now in Todd Gurley. And when you think about a guy like Gurley, he wasn't even a year out from major knee surgery when he suited up, what was it, three games into last season. He didn't have an off season last year where he could focus just on football related, getting in shape, type things. He was rehabilitating a serious knee injury. Well, he doesn't have that to worry about anymore. He's literally practicing and focusing in on getting in football shape. So I expect an even better Todd Gurley next year. And that is the focal point. You're absolutely right. Which is a staple of a Jeff Fisher type offense. But when you have that kind of a weapon at running back, stands to reason it's going to open up other areas. But again, you've got to have that quarterback that can make that can take advantage of that.
Vinny, with the move to LA, a lot of interesting topics, obviously. One of the ones that was interesting to me would be what impact being in Los Angeles will have on free agency. If this team didn't move to LA and was just going to be in St. Louis next year, do you think free agency would have gone exactly the way it's gone so far, or would it have been different?
Well, one of the, you know, it's hard to judge this year because they had so many of their own free agents and they wanted, that was their primary goal was retaining their own guys. So, they haven't really, you know, dipped in so much to the outside free agency market as a result of that. But from what I've been told, from my sources with the Rams, their phone has been blowing up, whether it was agents calling right now to say that they're interested or when they met with them in Indianapolis during the scouting combine. Next week, we'll all be in Florida for the NFL meetings. I expect that to continue, but based on the feedback that the Rams have gotten from agents, there's players that absolutely want to play for the Los Angeles Rams, not necessarily the St. Louis Rams, but the LA Rams. So, I think in the years ahead, that's only going to, you know, get better and be more of a benefit for them, especially if they go into off seasons where they don't have, you know, 12 guys that they have to re-sign, nine of which were unrestricted free agents. That's a lot of unrestricted free agents to have to deal with that one during one off season.
You know, I wanted to ask you one more follow-up question on quarterback, because I just saw this. Adam Schefter tweeted that the Rams met with Michigan State quarterback Connor Cook at the Michigan State pro day today. You know, generally speaking, you've always got one guy that you're kind of thinking about developing, looking long-term. Sean Mannion has been on the roster. How do they view Sean Mannion, and if he's not the guy, is it possible that they stash away a quarterback from later in the draft that they may view as a good guy to develop?
You know, his name does definitely come up. Sean Mannion's name definitely does come up, but not in the sense of, wow, we really believe that we found somebody in Sean Mannion. I think that, you know, they're happy with him as a developmental quarterback. In that sense, but I don't, you know, and usually when, you know, people aren't shy about saying, hey, we uncovered a gem in this guy, and they'd be counting that, you know, from atop the hill. Well, they're not necessarily talking about Sean Mannion in those terms. You mentioned Connor Cook. He's a guy that, you know, that I think will be there if the Rams address the wide receiver position at 15, he's a guy that could be there early in the second round or maybe at the tail end of that first round. The one team I'm kind of worried about in that scenario is the Denver Broncos. I think that, you know, as we mentioned earlier, that they're going to need a quarterback, and they're picking 31st, and that's kind of right where he might be, you know.
So you think Connor Cook is potentially the fourth quarterback in the first round?
Yeah, well, only because the Broncos have such a need for quarterback, and I think that he would be the first quarterback taken in the second round. So if you're the Broncos, you got to be thinking, look, if we wait any longer, we're not going to get this guy. And if you're the Rams, and you haven't addressed the quarterback earlier in the first round, and he's a guy that I believe that there is interest in. Obviously, they, like you said, they met with him today at Michigan State Pro Day. With those two second round picks, they had the flexibility to move back into that first round and beat a team like the Broncos for a Connor Cook, who I actually like. If you look at, you know, the 4-year starter who played in a lot of big games at Michigan State, won a lot of big games at Michigan State, there were some leadership issues. When we talked to him at the scouting combine, I was blown away by how he handled all of that, by how he, you know, explained himself. And it wasn't, you know, just, you know, pushing it away. He took it head on and explained, you know, where some of the inaccuracies and some of the reporting was about that leadership issue. And I like the guy. And I think that, you know, if you look at his numbers, you know, his accuracy has been knocked. But when you look at the offense that he plays, then it was more of a downfield offense rather than a dink and dunk type of an offense. So that's going to affect your accuracy, your throwing percentage. And a lot of his misses were on throws that some teams don't even have in their playbook. You know, and they consistently do that at Michigan State. So he's kind of a pro-ready quarterback. There are some flaws and there are some areas that he needs to work on and that needs to get refined, but everything else is there. He's a big, strong kid with a great arm. And like I said, he's played in some big games. So he might be a guy at that, like I said, at the end of that first round or early in the second that the Rams could be identifying.
Yeah. And he is a 3-year starter, in a program that plays a really high level. And it doesn't hurt that Kirk Cousins came out of that program too. And he's had obviously great success, kind of exploded this year for the Redskins. So I think that makes a difference too.
Exactly. And he's kind of a lot like a Kirk Cousins, you know, and came from that pro style offense, that they run there at Michigan State. And I think that bodes well because so many times now, even a guy like Paxton Lynch, you know, yeah, he's got the gaudy numbers, but when you look at the offense that he ran, it was that zone read offense, which you know, makes it, I'm not going to say easier on quarterbacks, but it's definitely a quarterback friendly offense that doesn't necessarily transcend, you know, to the NFL. You've got to be able to do things in the NFL that you don't necessarily have to do in college. A guy like Connor Cook did, a guy like Paxton Lynch didn't. And I think that, you know, at least initially, I think Connor Cook almost has a better chance of getting on the field earlier than a Paxton Lynch, although long range, maybe Paxton Lynch is just a better prospect though.
Hey, Vinny, last thing for me. You do a great job, so definitely check everyone check out his stuff, InsideSoCal.com/NFL. It's been a transition for you, you know, covering a team potentially coming back to actually covering a team in L.A. What has that been like? Because you talk about sources you're talking to. I mean, basically, you have to develop all this stuff, and it's kind of just like starting. Everyone in the whole town is like starting from ground zero, trying to get up to speed on the Rams. How's that been for you?
Interesting, and, you know, funny that you should mention that because, you know, even in the radio business or TV or newspapers, we're all starting to try to figure out, okay, the Rams are back now. How do we cover them? How do we deal with them? They're like the dad who left and we thought was gone for good. And all of a sudden they showed back up at our doorstep. And it's a little awkward right now trying to, you know, bring them back into the fold. And, you know, as far as the roster itself, you just have to, it's like doing homework. You know, you have to, and the rules in the NFL are so different than, you know, what we're used to with the Lakers or Clippers with their salary caps and baseball that doesn't have any salary cap, but learning all the intricacies of that aspect of it, which is enormous and big and huge as we're finding out right now during free agency, getting up to speed in all that, it's fascinating more than anything. But yeah, it's totally different than actually covering who is going to come to Los Angeles. And we shouldn't forget that that whole process still isn't over yet. You know, you've got the Chargers.
Oh, blah, blah, blah.
I think the Chargers are going to, I think one way or another they get that worked out. But I can tell you right now, the Raiders are waiting and they're waiting. They're rooting harder than anybody for San Diego to get their ducks in a row and keep the Chargers because they're ready to move to Los Angeles. And that's the one team that truly believes. I don't think the Chargers believe. I know the Chargers don't believe. They may have to come to Los Angeles and figure it out as they go along. But the Raiders, they believe that they can step into Los Angeles with the Rams right in the eye and say, our brand is just as big as yours, if not bigger, and it's on. Let's do this. And they're waiting. They can't wait for that. But they have to wait for the Chargers, obviously, to get their situation figured out. So that's still going to be kind of a fascinating story to keep an eye on over the next, you know, year to 2 years.
Yeah. All right. Hey, I want to, your owner's meetings, you said are coming up. And I think at one point, you and I, talked and you said that there, at some point, anytime you build a new stadium, you get a Super Bowl. Is there some talk about when exactly, the city of Los Angeles could get a Super Bowl at the brand new stadium in Inglewood?
It's either going to be 2020 or 2021. And that decision, is going to happen in May at the NFL owners meeting. Charlotte, I fully excited. It'd be shocking if we didn't find out that the Super Bowl was coming to Los Angeles in one of those 2 years, just a couple of months. So pretty exciting times for the city of Los Angeles.
Wow. The Super Bowl back in Los Angeles.
That'd be awesome.
Exciting. All right. Hey, listen, Vinny, great talking to you as always. Ryan, you don't know this, but Vinny, you know, has been on ESPN LA a lot. But then he cheated on us. He went over to this other radio station,
oh, I know,
called The Beast in LA. And so he got banned, at ESPN LA, but I'm doing my best to get him back in the mix over here. And you can see why, because Vinny absolutely knows his stuff.
He owns
and,
it, man.
And I don't think he'll ever be a traitor again. Will you, Vinny?
Absolutely not. I don't know what I was thinking, but, we all make mistakes and, I'm trying to grow and learn from my
Was he really bad? You didn't ban him just for going over there.
I didn't ban him. My bosses did.
Oh.
Yeah, no. The bosses did. I'm like, no, Vinny's a totally good guy. He just had a moment. It was like temporary insanity that he went to a
That's
station
right.
that wasn't even going to be here anymore. So, no, Vinny, you're back in the fold as far as I'm concerned.
All right, awesome. I appreciate that, Steve.
All right, cool. There is Vinny Bonsignore, and Vinny's Twitter handle is
At
Daily
News,
News
Vinny,
right?
Yep.
At you Daily News Vinny. And of course you can follow me at Venice Mace, M-A-S-E, Ryan Abraham, publisher of USCfootball.com. and LARamsReport.com. You can follow him at Inside Troy. And thanks a lot for listening to the Ramble On podcast. We're going to settle into a groove now. Make sure we get you something every single week here. Thanks a lot for listening. Ryan, what do you say? Like us or give us a 5-star review? What is all that stuff?
Find us on iTunes. Just look for the Ramble On podcast and, give us a like. If you don't like us, you give us a 5-star rating, put a little comment in there. Subscribe. You want to subscribe to the podcast and, tell your friends. All the new Rams fans, a lot of millennials, I think they're going to be liking the Rams.
Well, I'm the world's oldest millennial, so I'm adopting it. All right. Thanks a lot for listening to the Ramble On podcast. We'll see you next week.